Now we come to the Q&A session. It's if you could, when you get up and ask your question, if you could state your name and your organisation, that'd be much appreciated. The floor is open.
Oh, the first question, it's hard. Come on.
Well, I'll start off. But in the past, it was really easy coming along to your bank manager. You knew your bank manager. You asked a question and so on, and you got an overdraft. But actually, since 2008, I mean, the situation had already started changing with relationship managers getting between you and the decision maker. But since 2008, really, it seems to me that the whole process of getting more funding now is taking much, much longer. Yeah. And I wonder if, Robin, one of you could...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I absolutely accept that when we are presenting and something like this, we are seeing things from a very much through the bank lens. You're probably sitting there thinking, this doesn't feel like how it is for the average customer that you look after. And I absolutely understand that. I think it's a fair pushback, Robert. I think it is taking longer. I think we've obviously had to tighten our credit policy in most of the sectors to reflect the really difficult market conditions out there. So all the variables that go into the components of policy are probably tighter. There's a few exceptions, but I'm speaking generally here. They are tighter. It's probably needing more investigation just to be sure that we are meeting those policies. And I guess, you know, fundamentally, careless impairment is just something that all the banks, it's the one thing that cripples our business model. If we lend and create careless impairment where money's lost, you need so many good loans to cover three or four that go bad out of 100. You probably need 95 decent loans to cover three or four that go wrong. And in this climate, you know, there are a lot of SMEs that are struggling. You know, I think the same 20 or 30%, the top 20% of our book probably find it no more difficult to get money today than they did 4 or 5 years ago. I think what you've got is the critical mass below that, where the business model is a little bit more marginal, it is tougher. So it is a fair pushback. We're trying to streamline our processes, and we recognise, Robert, that we have got a lot of work to do there. I don't think we would try and sit here and say that it's anything like a perfect model. It's still work in progress.
I mean, certainly from a credit function perspective, we went through Lean last year, so we looked at all our processes within the four walls of the credit function. And we standardised, we reduced, we really took a hard line at questioning, using best practice. And I understand that is going to start to take place outside of the wider four walls of my unit for the end-to-end credit process. But we also do a lot, I think it's often kind of, you know, the discretion that a relationship manager has is often quite underplayed. We have a system where a decision assistance tool which allows certain applications to be input by the relationship manager, and they are able to actually take that decision to approve that facility without coming anywhere near my function. So we actually still have quite a lot of local discretion. It's just not tied up in the kind of traditional delegated lending authority that you might have kind of been familiar with in previous years. So there's still quite a lot of on the ground responsibility for credit.
The other thing I would say, Robert, is that, you know, the regulator, you know, RBS obviously and probably Lloyds as obviously the government owned organisations. I mean, the FSA and the regulator generally is all over us like a rash in every conceivable form of lending. You know, that any slippage in sort of impairment criteria is immediately jumped on, and there was a massive steward's inquiry on individual situations that evolved from that. So absolutely, we understand why that is. We're 83% owned by the government. We have to accept that is the landscape that we operate within. But the regulator is a very difficult individual to deal with at the moment for us, and it is something that we've got absolutely no option to deviate from that sort of path.
Fred Lawson, retired investment man. You're talking about new loans, obviously, and trying to get out new loans at, without risk. Now, all those loans were very interesting that you produced at the end. Mm-hmm. They were all secured over good collateral security of property.
Yep.
So that was fairly easy lending, if I might say so.
Okay.
The big problem is not the new lending on easy security. It's all the businesses that are in trouble. And they're the ones that come along and say, look, I just need this money to finance stock or whatever, working capital, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So in the whole RBS network, there must be 10 times as much time spent on problem businesses than looking at the new easier loans. I mean, obviously, you want the new easier loans, but you still have these older loans that have been sitting there for 20, 30, 50, maybe 100 years.
I think it's a great question, Fred, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, a massive amount of our time, because you know, essentially a lot of the decisions to lend to these businesses have been taken 5, 6, 10 years ago. The money's out there. You know, it's not as if it's a new decision. You know, if we've lent a business £1 million 10 years ago, it's in our balance sheet, and it's something that we've got to try and tackle. I mean, the two examples I gave earlier were situations where, you know, loaned money to those businesses A, B, C, and D, E. The money was out there. It's then a question of how can you try and make the best of the hand that's there. And you're right. There is an inordinate amount of time spent on that by the average relationship manager managing. You know, the sexy end of it's a bit like what Ronnie's saying, trying to get the new stuff's great, but the reality is 90% of our time is spent on the cases that you identify.
And your problem is to protect the investment that you've made 10, 15, 20 years ago that looks like it's going bad. Do you lend more money into a bad situation, or do you just call it a day?
Yeah. So we're very keen on making sure, I mean, our risk appetite framework covers both back book and forward looking book. And in terms of back book, we really have a situation where it allows us to do various bits and pieces, even if a customer's outside of risk appetite as we define it now, we still have the ability to do various things around that lending. We also have specialist teams. So within my function, we have a specialist team that looks after those situations where, you know, there are risks that are probably higher than you would like to see just in a normal trading book. And those connections are much more intensively managed in terms of we have more discrete portfolio management, because normally what happens in my function, you know, any one of the credit managers can pick up a file when it comes in. But for this certain amount of customers, we have more dedicated portfolio management. We have more regular reporting cycles for those customers. We have a team sitting out in the front line, in first line of defence, who manage those connections. So that we're very keen on making sure that we identify risks as early as possible and get them into the right part of the bank, which allows then, hopefully, for action to be taken and return them back into our mainstream book. So, you know, it is something that we've done a lot of work on over the last 3 years in terms of understanding that process. And certainly from a risk function, we've spent a lot of time doing early problem identification. So it's actually getting in and identifying problems before they become real issues for a business. And for those customers, you know, we'll do sector reviews, we do portfolio reviews. You know, any time that we see, maybe if it's a geographical area and we think there's something happening there, we'll actually go in and actually do a review of those connections and try and surface the issues as soon as we can. So we're a lot more, I mean, one of our mantras in risk is we've moved from reactive sanctioners to proactive managers of risk, and that's really what we're trying to do, is not just wait for problems to be presented, but actually to go in and help customers early enough in the process.
Just to add very quickly, I think one of the things that we have tried to do is, if we have a customer who has an overdraft, and most customers do, a lot of those overdrafts, there's an element of hardcore debt in there, and that might be historically they've been spending it on assets, or they've been spending it on other things, property improvements, etc. What we've been able to do quite successfully is use the funding for lending scheme to allow them to term some of that debt out, so they've got a five-year plan to deal with their debt. It allows them to get a particularly attractive fee reduction on that date for the period of the 5 years, so it saves them quite a lot of money, and they'll get their discount, and we're probably doing a fixed rate at sort of 4-4.5% typically. Those customers that are able to work with are probably got a better chance of getting a slightly increased overdraft if they can prove it through their projections that they need it, if they're prepared to deal with the hardcore debt and get that into a place where we can service that over a period of time. So, but it is more difficult when you've got a business that's struggling and is coming to us and asking for more money, I think that's where an accountant and a proper business plan and set of cash flows actually is almost critical. Because if we can't understand why they need the money and where it's going, how they're going to change this business from, you know, maybe being loss making to profit making, we really need to understand that, because the days of us just throwing money good after bad is we're just not going to do that.
Yes.
Kerry Mark, I work with Tennant Caledonian Brewers in our trade investment department, so working with licensed trade operators and funding their ambitions, usually alongside a bank. The recent economic climate has been a great opportunity for us, in that there's a lot of licensed trade operators finding it very difficult to get bank funding, or are in a position where they have a lot of funding but need to restructure it. One of the big issues we are seeing across the board with banks is where we are working with the customer to take on some of the debt or provide debt to help them go forward, is then getting the banks to agree to ranking agreements. And that tends to be a huge delaying factor in what we are trying to do. I was just keen to get your sense of how you look at that sort of position.
I'd maybe come in first and Warner can probably comment. I think it's one that I'd be quite keen to take away, because I wasn't aware that was a particular issue. I mean, we now concentrate the leisure, we've created leisure portfolios, so managers are dedicated to looking after hotels, restaurateurs, pub operators, etc. So we've got those congregated in the one place. I personally wasn't aware that was an issue, but I'm happy to take that away and speak to the individual, because my view on that is if there's something coming to the table that's going to facilitate a solution, and it means us stepping back from an enhanced position on a ranking agreement, to be honest, my view would be that we should be easy enough to deal with in that. And if we're not, then I think
it was a general across the board.
It's an absolutely fair point. I'm happy to take that away and speak to my counterpart in the leisure area, because it's not something that personally I would be looking to put up a barrier if there was something happening that.
I mean, certainly from a credit perspective, it's understanding, you know, how the funding's going to be used and what it actually does. Does it actually stabilise business? Because we've seen a few where you know just more external debt's gone in, and it's not actually fundamentally sorted the problems of the business, and you've just all that you've created is extra repayment. So, but if we can understand it as part of a package, and understand, I mean, obviously one of the key things for us is understanding the position in terms of our debt versus, so whether we're, does that debt subordinated to us properly? Are we ranked at PIPSU? So, but as long as we can understand it as part of a viable business strategy, then I can't recall any time when we've put any sort of barrier to another funder coming in. We do quite a lot of work with some of the MES funders now. They're coming in and doing some MES funding, and we're coming in on the senior debt, so they're topping up. And we do quite a lot on different kind of ranking agreements and intercreditor agreements and stuff, so it's not something that I've been aware of.
Yes.
David Gray, Corporate Advisory. Can I just endorse the last point being, I've had clients with that direct difficulty in trying to bring more cash into the business, so just to add weight for your review.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm happy to take that on board. Absolutely.
Yes.
Hi there, I'm David Houston, Houston Partnership. Good two points actually. Anna was very happy with the bullet points of the pig's ear manufacturer. Manufacture pig's ears? Restaurant. Is there any bullet points of unsuccessful lending applications and why? And my second point was regarding, I think it was Robin, the first speaker, saying some things they will ask the customer to change external accountants. I've recently taken over a client from BDO, where BDO, where the customer was told to change from Sinclair Wood, who are not a one-man band, to BDO. BDO then proceeded to charge £24,000 for two quarters management accounts.
Yeah.
Customer can't afford £12,000. He didn't want. Sinclair Wood were already preparing management accounts for £1,500 per quarter. For that to go to 12,000 from BDO makes one think the bank manager was getting a backhander from BDO.
I realise.
So I can understand changing from maybe a one-man band accounting to being quite
afford a business of that size, but Sinclair would be didn't seem to fit into that.
The first thing from
ease the DDO charge the customer.
From a credit perspective, we will never insist on a change of external advisor as part of any sort of funding package. That's just unethical.
I've actually got a letter from the Royal Bank to the customer insisting.
From a credit function, I would never put that in as any sort of condition around any provision of funding. That wouldn't be. Where a lot of the discussions come is around the quality of the information and understanding whether the customer's getting the right advice. So recently we had a customer in the agricultural sector who was struggling slightly, and obviously last year with the bad weather was quite difficult. And the person that was advising them and their accountant wasn't a specialist ag kind of person. So they had very little ag on their book. And so trying to understand or trying to get them to produce the information that is key for the ag sector was very difficult, and certainly the suggestion was that they might like to think about changing to somebody who had an ag specialism. But that's a very kind of specific case where you've got a sector that's has struggled, has certain key issues to it, and had somebody advising them who didn't really understand the kind of what was going on in that sector. But we would certainly never put as a condition of sanction about a change.
Ronnie did actually say to me, he said, you're not leaving that bullet point in your presentation at the moment where there was a change of external accountant. And I said, well, to be fair, it's in very exceptional circumstances that we would say to a customer, because we realise that we've got relationships with a wide cross-section of really good accountants. I guess in the example I had, we had a business there of 25 million turnover. One person who kind of refused to come to bank meetings was a kind of faceless individual in terms of a pretty big relationship. And in those circumstances, I mean, personally, I don't think it's unreasonable to say to the business, look, you're a 25 million SME, that's at the very top of that tree. To have a situation where, in a critical business discussion, we can't have an external accountant coming to a meeting of that importance, I think is... my personal view is that is not reasonable, and I think in those circumstances, all we can say is, our recommendation is that it's a weakness in our view for a business of that scale. As to the decision in terms of who they go to, obviously that was an individual decision, but it was only an observation, and obviously we can't force that. But it is a fair point. And it's not something, we don't see that many changes of accountant in our SME portfolio. I would say it's quite exceptional if someone changes accountants, but cost is usually the driver. What was your first point, sorry?
It's about
declines.
Can I do declines?
Yeah.
I'll do declines.
Focused on successful applications.
So we're very keen to analyse our decline information from a kind of risk function. So everything that gets declined in the unit we have a four pairs of eyes principle. So if somebody wants to decline something, we get somebody else to second look that, and I agree. We log every single decline so that we can actually look at MI around the reasons that we're declining things. The most common reason things are declined is doubts about ability to service higher levels of debt. So the ability to service the debt. And that's the main one. The second most common reason, and I would say that is the majority of it. The second one is that it falls outside our risk appetite. So we have a defined risk appetite, and there are some cases that will fall outside of that. And as a bank, we have accepted that will happen. Really, that tends to be the most common reasons.
What about the reasons which stop it coming to credit in the first place?
That's the interesting.
Can I maybe just pick one example on that, just briefly? I mean, we've got one on the go at the moment where we've got a really good customer who is looking to walk into a really good big contract in Qatar. It's a 1.5 million contract in Qatar where it's going to be hugely profitable for the customer. The thing I would throw into the pot is risk reward. What we have been asked to do, this is one that we've declined before it's gone to credit. So we've declined it at source before it's gone anywhere. And the reason for that is that it's a 1.5 million contract. The customer isn't prepared to put anything on the table in terms of security. We've managed to get a guarantee from the government for the export loan for 50% of it. So we've got 750k catered for, but there's another 750k there, which is which is unsecured, dealing with Qatar, where we've got, you know, absolutely no visibility on the ultimate debtor. The fallback position is extremely weak if anything happens with that contract. And the reality is that in terms of risk reward, I mean, we probably make, if everything goes swimmingly well, we probably make 20k of interest margin on that, but risk losing $750,000 if the contract doesn't work. Now, you look at that, you know, do I think the contract will work? Yes, I do. But do I want to risk 750k to make 25k? The answer is no, I don't. You know, and it's a really difficult one because we've got something there that will probably work its way through, but we've got no equity coming in, and it's a risk reward play for me that it's a step too far. So that would be an example from me of one that wouldn't go to Lorna, because we're locked in discussions with the customer at the moment, explaining at the front end exactly why we can't support that. We're trying desperately to find other ways of doing the deal. We're actually trying to go 50-50. We're prepared to go 50-50 with the customer on the unsecured portion. So we're prepared to go 375 if we can get a guarantee for 375, but that isn't forthcoming. So, you know, that's an example of, you know, a situation that we could fund, but it's a risk reward play where it's just a bridge too far. Sorry, Ronnie, you were going to say.
Just on the declines, there's really two types of decline. The decline at credit, which is obviously a formal report to credit, and there's declines at source, which is where the RM has declined it, and it's not going anywhere near credit, so Lorna, we wouldn't see those. There's probably more declines at source than there are declines at credit, because the view would be by the time it gets to credit and RM thinks there is a deal there to be done. The declines at source are second looked by a director, and often they're looked at by me. By and large, like I said, it is debt servicing, so it's the capacity for that business to actually service that debt doesn't meet our policy, and that's a bit of a challenge. We also find that the business is generally quite highly geared, so they will generally already have existing debt, and they're coming to us for more debt, and it might be inappropriate for us to advise that customer actually to take on any debt just now. So the declines that I am seeing, the vast majority, the decline is unfortunately the right answer, because that's just the reality of the loan. It's too risky for us, and the customer probably shouldn't be taking on any more debt, and potentially the trading performance of the business isn't that great. And what we often see is the owners have been taking every bit of spare cash out of that business for a number of years to their personal benefit, and then they're not prepared to put any more money back in, and they expect the bank to do it. And that's sometimes quite a difficult conversation with a customer, that they're not prepared to hand back the Aston Martin or the Range Rover because they have a lifestyle. And, you know, what we're saying, well, why should the bank take the risk if there's no security? So sometimes the decline is the right answer, and there's just no way of getting around that.